I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and today I shall give you the last segment of my four-part series of messages of my early experiences in Nazi Germany, my deliverances from bombs, from communism, from torpedo boats and submarines and MiGs, from famine and death in a camp, and to my wonderful conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we pray now for thy divine anointing on this sharing of what you've done for this needy servant. In thy name we pray. Amen. Today, surely, you want to have your pencil and paper ready, because I'll give you my address at the end of the message so you can order the cassette tape with these testimonies on it. You can also get us on the website. We'll give you that address again if we have time. Then you can also get a message that I gave you on the printed page. And for those listening to me for the first time, I was born in Hamburg, Germany in 1936, 3 years after Adolf Hitler came to power. At that time of my birth, all Germans were classified into three categories, either Jew, Aryan, which means pure German, or mongrel, and I was classified as a second-degree mongrel. So what you'll be hearing the next several years over this station will be the preaching of the gospel by a second-degree mongrel. The Nazis put pressure on my Aryan, my pure German father, to divorce his, quote, Jewish wife and children, unquote. My father resisted. We got in trouble with the Nazis. We were bombed by the British. We escaped the Red Army 24 hours before they took our city in East Germany. We spent 3 days and three nights on a hospital train, jammed between rows of four quadruple bunk beds, eating snow and burying the dead. We spent a couple of days on a ship going through the Baltic Sea, trying to miss the enemy's torpedo boats and mines. We spent 2 years in a refugee prison camp. And after that, I had my first experience with God in a forest. Then God spake to me 3 years later, and he told me that he would give me the answers to the questions of origin, purpose, and destiny. I made my way from Germany to England, where my Jewish grandfather escaped the Holocaust. On the last day of my visit with my grandfather, I was invited to a beautiful English castle belonging to the Torchbearer organization, of which Major Ian Thomas is the head. It is in this castle that I gave my heart to Jesus in August of 1952. The next morning after my conversion, I was supposed to give my testimony to the other young people in that conference center, and I was scared to death, and I told Major Thomas that I wanted to take the early train out of that area to make my way back to Germany. So Ian Thomas kindly took me to the railroad station, and from there I had a train ticket all the way back to my hometown, Hamburg, Germany, and also had a ticket for the ferry for the ship that would transfer us from England to Holland via the British Channel. I was supposed to have met my Jewish grandfather in Liverpool so he could give me some money for food, but we missed each other and I ended up in London. As I was in the London railway station, a huge, tremendously large railway station, I heard the announcement over the intercom that all travelers bound for the continent would have to overnight in London because there was a big storm in the British Channel. There, once I was 16 years of age, I found Jesus yesterday. I was hungry, I had no money, and I was a foreigner in a strange land. I was dressed in a terrible way because, you see, we were poor, not poorer than a lot of other Germans who had just gone through the war and lost everything. But no, I didn't look very good in the London station. My pants were far too short. My suit coat was too tight. It didn't match my pants. The sleeves were too short. And I was very, very uncomfortable. I sat there and I didn't know what to do till finally I saw a group of German young people, apparently from Bavaria, Germany, because they wore these famous German leather pants, coming through the railroad station. Somehow, I was impressed to get in the middle of this group, and so I got in the middle of them, and they all went underground through a ticket check into the underground train the tube, as they call it over there in London. I knew instinctively that if I stayed in the middle of this group, I would pass through the ticket check without a ticket. As a member of the group, even though I did not wear leather pants. In the background, in the underground, I should say, we went from station to station to station. And I don't know whether we went north or south or east or west, till finally the group left the train and went through another ticket check, and I stayed in the middle of the group, and we ended up back on the street of London, somewhere in that vast, vast city. Now, I don't recall what happened next, other than that, all of a sudden, I was standing on the second floor of an old house somewhere in London, and there was a lady with white hair, and she pointed to a room, and in that room was an iron bed and a desk and a chair, and she said, "There is your room," and there, my friend, I fell asleep. I never had a recollection how I got from that sub railroad station to that house. The next morning I woke up, and I have absolutely no recollection either, never had one, how I got from there back to the Central Railroad Station in London. I had no money, I had no map, I had no friends, I had no idea in what part of London I slept, but all of a sudden I stood in front of this train headed for Southampton on the south coast of England to cross the channel to go back to Germany. Oh, isn't God a wonderful God? I'll tell you, folks, if we seek Him first, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you." My friend, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. As I got onto the ship, the ferry, to cross the channel, we were still in a very stormy weather situation. Being a third-class passenger on a third-class fare, I was not allowed to go downstairs, so the boat was rocking to and fro, and the water was spraying over the ship, and I got wet, and I got seasick. I had not eaten anything for 2 days. My stomach was empty as it could be, and I was trying to, and I could not. I could not. Have you ever been seasick with an empty stomach? You see, it's a much better thing to be seasick when you have something in your stomach so that you can relieve yourself. You feel a sense of help by throwing up or out your food. But you know, when you have nothing in your stomach, you're trying to bring up your stomach and your intestines, and those things are attached and you just can't get them out, and so you keep being sick and sick and trying to throw up, and you can't. You just can't. Oh, how miserable that was. As I looked over the railing into that black sea, I heard the devil say to me, "Now, son, how do you like being a Christian? How do you like being saved?" And I said to the old devil, whom I met for the first time at that particular moment, I said, "You old devil, I want you to know, even if I go to hell, I'm going to talk of Jesus till you are so sick and tired of me in hell that you'll spit me out of that place, because I'm in this for better or for worse." And there, dear friends, on the British Channel, in August of 1952, at 16, I signed my marriage contract with God, for better or for worse. I would suggest that you take the reverse gear out of your relationship with God. I suggest you take the reverse gear out of your marriage and never even think about divorce. You will not, by the grace of God, go back. You will, by the grace of God, never even think about backsliding. You will never even think about not praying as you get out of bed in the morning. You will not even think about not going to church. You will never even think about not reading your Bible. You'll never even think about, my friend, anything negative that will affect you in a way to leave your wonderful Savior. My friend, we've got to take the reverse gear out of our lives and just go forward and forward and forward so that God may smile upon us. Well, I got home. I can't tell you all the experiences I had getting home. But I got home and I gave my first witness to my mother. I knew I failed in England by not witnessing for Jesus. I didn't want to do it again. So I witnessed to my mother. My mother did not answer me a word. And then my second witness was to my scout leader, because I had a scout troop and a state church basement there, a Lutheran church. And I told my leader, who was the pillar of the church, I said to him, "Dr. Bittner, I want you to know I just came back from England and I received the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart." He looked at me, his face became red, and he said to me, "Blasphemy, blasphemy." That was my second response to my witness that I gave. Now, you have to understand where he was, because to many German theologians at that time, and to some this very day, for someone to say that a holy God can dwell in a sinful man is equivalent to blasphemy. 3 weeks after this experience, I was invited to a meeting of the Christian Boy Scout leaders of Hamburg, Germany. Of all the Christian Boy Scout leaders of that city, all of these men were gray-haired, and I was just 18 years old. During a meeting, one of the leaders, who sat across from me, he said, "I want to see your Boy Scout license that entitles you to be a Boy Scout leader in this movement." I gave him my certificate, and he said to me, "You'll never see it again." I was excommunicated from the Christian Boy Scouts because I said that Jesus had come into my heart. Dear ones, a lot of people are told when they get saved, everything will be just fine and dandy, and everything will go smooth. It did not go smooth with me, and it was not all fine and dandy. I was in trials and storms and tribulations and tests, and that's the way it was with Jesus. Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of his ministry, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days by the devil. I kept praying every day and reading my Bible, and I found another Christian young man. He was about 3 years older, and he and I together started an underground Christian Boy Scout movement in Hamburg, Germany. We called our troop Dietrich Bonhoeffer, after a Lutheran pastor, a courageous Lutheran minister who gave his life under the Nazis for telling the truth and standing up for the Word of God and the Jewish people. Well, thank you for listening to me. These last four broadcasts of experiences of my early life will be available to you on one cassette tape. Get paper and pencil ready, and I'll give you our address. This cassette tape with all four messages will be $3 total postpaid. So, if you don't have $3, you can get my printed testimony for $1. Now write to Call to Obedience, Call to Obedience, Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, that's K-O-K-O-M-O, Kokomo, Indiana, 46903. 46903. And we'll send you the tape or the printed testimony as long as those printed testimonies last. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.